Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. We are a community of practitioners focused on helping your clients achieve meaningful and socially significant behavior change. This is your host, Matt Harrington.
Hello and welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. We are going to be going over another research article today in 20 minutes or less so that for your commute you can come to work a little bit smarter knowing that you got your ABA reading in for the day. The article we're going to be going over is by Morris and colleagues and it is Multiple Isolated Functions of Problematic Behavior, a case study. This was published in 2023 in Behavior Analysis and Practice. So, the last episode, we talked a lot about the isolated versus synthesized functional analysis debate. We are going to continue it a little bit, but like I said, we're not going to get into the weeds. We're not going to get into all of the pluses and minuses of the isolated versus functional or versus synthesized. We're just not going to do it because that topic has been talked to death. And like I shared in past podcast episodes, I'm a little burnt out from it, because I just don't think it benefits us anymore. I think that all clinicians are screaming about is wanting a solid intervention, wanting a solid assessment, an efficient, ascent-based assessment that then leads to a solid intervention, and both functional analyses provide that. So we're not going to get into the weeds on this conversation, but we are going to look at kind of an offshoot of this conversation, which is the multiply controlled problem behavior kind of world. And this is something that always was an outlier within both different sets of the argument. You see, multiply controlled behavior is different than synthesized controlled behavior. So consider what synthesized reinforcement really is. To use the cake metaphor that everyone loves to use, synthesized reinforcement says that you're not reinforced by flour separate to milk, separate to eggs. You're reinforced by the combining of those three things into the eventual cake. However, without sugar, it's probably going to be pretty bad. So we can add sugar into the mix too. So you see, it's not that flour is a reinforcer. It's not that eggs are a reinforcer. It's that combined, that thing functions as a reinforcer. That condition, that set of stimuli functions as a reinforcer. This is different than multiply controlled behavior, because in multiply controlled behavior, in our same cake analogy, flour would be a reinforcer. So would milk and eggs and sugar, separate of each other. Now, they would still function as a reinforcer together, but they would also function separately as a reinforcer. In terms of what that would look like on a functional analysis, you would see more than one high conditions in a functional analysis while other conditions remain low. So it would still be differentiated, but it would be differentiated in a couple specific conditions. Now, here's my thing when we're talking about multiply controlled behavior. If you have a functional analysis that has identified every single function as a function of your behavior, right? You got auto in there, you got tangibles, you got escape, you got access, and that was an isolated functional analysis, something is wrong with your functional analysis. It is exceedingly rare that a single behavior, a singular behavior, is reinforced by everything and anything, and there isn't a more parsimonious explanation. I'll give you an example. One time I conducted an isolated functional analysis on self-injury, and every single condition was high. And this was off of precursors. We had done it with fidelity. And there was all of these things that we looked at that we were really sure that, okay, this is the data that we got. And we had to go back to the drawing because something had to be off. We suggested that this person go through medical testing to rule out any medical things because while they had been ruled out in the past, something wasn't adding up. So they had went to the doctor, said everything was fine. They came to us and we said, no, something else must be going on. And we found out that there was a medical condition. And once that medical condition cleared up, it was a much more simple, straightforward functional analysis. I think the resulting was tangibles or something like that. And that's just one example. There's things outside of medical that could cause a messy functional analysis. But this is why multiply controlled behavior is so hard. Because the first question you have to ask yourself is, did you actually do a good job? Is this a true multiply controlled behavior, or did you just do a bad functional analysis? Now, that's for isolated functional analysis. For a ISCA, there is no way to identify if something is multiply controlled. Remember, the ISCA is a very slim tool. It's a hammer that does one thing, or I guess a screwdriver would be a better metaphor. It's a tool that does one thing. It identifies synthesized reinforcement contingencies, and that's all it does. So the ISCA cannot identify multiply controlled behavior. It can identify synthesized, obviously. So why does this conversation even matter? Why do we care if we have multiply controlled behavior versus if we can identify synthesized behavior? I think it makes sense to consider the intervention pathways, because remember, an assessment is only good as the intervention that it then prescribes. So what are the assumptions of multiple versus synthesized, and how does that lead to an intervention? What about the specificity of the MANs that are being taught? What about the overall reduction rate of that challenging behavior? What are common errors you're going to get if you do an ISCA and you have an analysis or a treatment based on synthesized versus isolated? And could the ISCA intervention work? Yeah. Could the isolated FA intervention work? Yeah. It just depends on specific client demographics and different everything from who's around the client, what's their caregiver situation like, do they have a caregiver, are they independent, what do they prefer, everything like that leads into this consideration. So overall, the purpose of this article was to extend the research on multiply controlled behavior by using a brief isolated functional analysis to identify a multiply controlled behavior, and then two different FCT interventions to reduce that behavior. And just a word of warning, if you're going to read this article yourself, the graphs are so straightforward and simple, but there's one weird thing that took me a long time to figure out. So if you're reading this intervention and you're confused with the graph, I'm right there with you. I'll explain it in a second, but it was weird. I don't know why I couldn't figure it out. I don't know if I didn't have enough caffeine, but it was not working in this brain. There was one learner, a 15-year-old male. He had Angelman's, and he had a history of self-injury and no communication skills. The primary dependent variable was aggression and self-injury, with, of course, FCRs at the end once FCT started. The functional analysis was a basic brief FA with 5-minute sessions across attention, access to tangibles, play, and escape. The functional analysis pretty cleanly identified high conditions in the tangible and the escape condition. What's notable to point out, all other conditions were low. So there was 2 high paths for tangible and escape. Everything else was low. If you identify 2 functions with everything else being low, that's a sign that you might have an actually multiply controlled behavior. So what did the intervention look like? The baseline carried over from the functional analysis, so no need to repeat that. And the treatment generally consisted of setting up the EO condition, prompting if there was no response, no functional communication within 5 seconds, and then if there is interfering behavior, prompt the FCR to occur. There were 2 different conditions, and this is where things were really confusing for me to figure out in the graphs, because what they showed us was a multiple baseline across 2 functions. So the top panel of that graph was, I think it was tangibles, and the bottom was escape. And I kept on being so confused. Why is their problem behavior data different? Are there 2 different behaviors? Or is it, what's going on? No, there was 2 different treatment conditions. I had just assumed that there was 1 treatment condition, and there was just like 1 long path of data. No, so it was 2 different conditions. So the top graph shows condition 1, which I think was the tangibles condition. So in this condition, toys were removed from the environment, and contingent on a functional communication response, toys re-entered. So the EO was toys being removed, the FCR was toys please. Or actually, thinking about it, it was probably like an AAC, I don't remember exactly. Condition 2, which is separate from condition 1, was the demands condition. And that's when the demands were presented and the FCR removes the demand. So there was no demands in the play condition or in the tangible condition, and there were no tangibles in the escape condition. Two totally separate things, two totally separate data paths, and you saw strong experimental control for two separate FCRs independently reducing challenging behavior in those conditions. Both of these conditions reached zero without combining the establishing operations, and there was a clearly differentiated analysis that didn't include any combination. This shows really strong control and puts a lot of evidence into this idea for a multiply controlled behavior and not a synthesized form of behavior. So what makes this significant? And specifically, when should you use or look for multiply controlled behavior over synthesized? What made this significant was specifically the establishing operation, right? Specifically the condition and the FCR and the reinforcement that came after it. The caregiver, if there is a caregiver in this situation, would only have to focus on one establishing operation at a time. These EOs sometimes are naturally separate, right? If you consider escape in terms of schoolwork and toys in terms of tangibles, typically those are two separate activities, right? Let's say the multiply controlled behavior was attention and tangibles. Those are much more naturally occurring together, so it would be much harder to isolate those specific conditions. But because these were somewhat naturally separated, I'll get to that in a second, then the authors thought it was easier to do a multiply controlled analysis and identification so that the specific functional communication responses would be able to be specific to the functional reinforcer at that time and not introduce extraneous non-functional reinforcement when it's not needed. This is separate to the synthesized reinforcement approach, which says, heck yeah, we can over-reinforce this behavior because it's just not that big of a deal. So if you think about specifically what this intervention would look like in practice, let's say we're in a school and the learner gets a spelling test put down on his desk and he raises his hand and uses his FCR for escape. The spelling test goes away and the learner waits for a predetermined amount of time. That is the end result of this isolated, multiply controlled functional analysis path. In contrast, in that same situation, if we went through the synthesized reinforcement route, the paper also gets removed, but then tangibles also enter the picture, and access to those tangibles become a part of his routine. Now, you can hear me break that down and think one of two things. One group will say, thank goodness we don't have extra non-functional reinforcement in that moment. This is such an easier, simpler intervention to follow because we don't have two moving pieces, we only have one. And then another group will hear me say that and say, great, this kid's more engaged, they're engaging in more leisure skills. I bet you there's definitely not going to be any interfering behavior because we have such a strong reinforcement contingency. Based on the article we reviewed just last week, they're probably going to more prefer the synthesized. This is great, everything is great. So you can see when we actually go to break it down and we get into the nitty-gritty of it, you're still left with two successful interventions and then a decision to make. And I think the only way you can really make that decision is based on the individual client in front of you. Can the teacher in the scenario handle providing tangibles each time break is requested as well? Or can it not? What can the environment actually support? And can this intervention sustain without a one-on-one? Can this intervention sustain in a 1-on-10 setting? Can this intervention be successfully faded? Can the fading go faster or slower based on the type of reinforcement provided? So there's a lot of different decisions. Those are all decisions have to be made on the clinician level. And right now the reality is there's not a lot of guidance from research on the specific decision-making model. Now, I did hear that there was some recent research that's getting published that is on this decision-making model, so that's pretty exciting. Back down to earth, back down to this article. overall, this, I think, was a really solid article. I think it clearly showed where the difference is between multiply controlled behavior and synthesized reinforcement. In terms of what you should do as a clinician, I encourage you to become comfortable and knowledgeable on all types of functional analyses so that you can better choose for your client what's best in that moment. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. So there you have it. That's the end of our podcast. It would mean the world to me if you commented or shared or however you're interacting with this content. Subscribe if you're on a podcast platform. It means the world to me. And also, if you're available, give a review to this podcast. Give it 5 stars if you love it. Give me feedback if not. I read every single one, and it does a ton to boost the visibility of content like this in the overall algorithm. If you want to continue engaging with the Behaviorist Book Club, the best place to go is the ABA Cafe Facebook group. You can find it just by typing in the ABA Cafe into your Facebook search bar. It is a group of research-minded practitioners engaging and collaborating together to become better behavior analysts through our application of practitioner-focused research. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.